Can you hear me okay? I thank you for that sweet prayer. And Lord willing, I want to go to the 10th chapter of the book of John, and but I want to go to the 10th chapter of the book of Mark first. And, we all have needs. We all have needs that come before us, and the good Lord of heaven, he doesn't need anything to accomplish his purpose from me. And he doesn't need anything to accomplish his purpose from you. What God says is yea and amen. In the 50th Psalm, the psalmist says, speaking of the Lord, he said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need anything. There are some of God's children that think he does. And I thank God that I'm amongst the people that see the Lord on his throne. And all things are yea and amen. And he moves what he makes crooked. No man can straighten. So I'm going to go to the 10th chapter of the book of Mark, and just for a moment, look at something that's said there concerning a man that came to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know y'all have heard this. This is a Wednesday night. This is a Wednesday night, and you've tuned into a Zoom meeting where they proclaim the by the grace of Almighty God, we try to proclaim the grace of God. Stand together, although we're seated, but we're standing together, shoulder to shoulder, to proclaim the glory and that grace of God manifested through us in this church. Now, this is the church. We're all together. We're all separated. But brethren, I want you to understand the church is not about a building, is it? It's not about a building. It's an assembly. And brethren, this is the Wednesday night church Zoom meeting. And I appreciate the sweet opportunity that I've had to come and see those of like faith that proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and have a place amongst you. Here's a young man in the 10th chapter. The scriptures say he's young. The scriptures say that this is a young man. One of the gospel writers says that he's a ruler, and we know from history that the Romans, they had the secular rule, but he's a ruler in the synagogue, and he's a rich. He's rich. He's got a lot of earthly possessions. He's successful. He comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's not quite satisfied with his life. He's not satisfied with his life. Oh, and he calls him good master. I just want just a little bit of this. I just want just a little bit of this because in Mark, it says this. He says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And said unto him, one thing thou lackest. He's going to point out that something he lacks. Now, brethren, that's not the only thing. Jesus is going to point out one thing. That's one thing. I don't have to go into a great discourse about saying that the love of the Lord Jesus Christ is salvation. There's not going to be a broken-hearted Savior in heaven that some object of his love is lost forever. I don't have to preach that. I don't have to tell you that. Brethren, he has all power. He has all power. And his love is complete. His love is perfect, and is perfect in his brethren, those whom the Father's given. And that's the reason I want to go to the 10th chapter of the book of John, because Jesus proclaims it there. So let me go to the 10th chapter, and the 10th chapter of the book of John. If I, it's right. There's 9 and there's 11. Here's 10. It says this. He says, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. It doesn't say anything about Jesus preaching. Now, this is one thing that I believe and I understand. Now, God's a God of purpose. Isn't God a God of purpose? You understand that He has a purpose. He has a purpose. He came of a purpose. And brother, He's not wandering around, is what I'm saying. You know, he's not, well, I don't know what I'll do today. I get up in the morning and say, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? You know, but God's given me a purpose too. God's given me a purpose too. And that purpose is to proclaim His name in the way I walk. You know, He's walking here in the temple, brother. In Solomon's porch, it says, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Well, you know what they're saying to Jesus? It's your fault we don't believe. It's your fault we don't believe. If you had just preached a little better, we'd understand. We'd know this. It's your fault we don't believe. Have you thought about these men? You ever thought about them? Now, brethren, I know the apostles are there. I know the apostles are there. John writes about this. John writes about this, and he's directed of the Spirit to deliver this message to it. But have you ever thought that maybe Nicodemus is there? Maybe Nicodemus. You know, this is supposition on my part. Maybe Joseph of Arimathea is there. They dressed in long robes. You can see Jesus talks about the robes and the fringe on their garments. And he talks about how broad their phylacteries were, those leather straps that they put on their arms, and with a little leather box in there where they had a little scripture written and they kept there. And Jesus remarks about the Pharisees that at prayer time, they always managed to be in a busy thoroughfare of the city so that someone could see them. They wanted to be seen. If I looked upon them with their robes and their phylacteries and all of the things they did there, I think, boy, these are religious people. These are religious people. But I don't have the ability. And you don't have the ability to look into their very heart. But Jesus does. Now, Jesus is going to say something to these men. And I believe there's a purpose in what he says. If you go over, it's in the 15th chapter of Matthew. 15th chapter of Matthew, the Jews come to the Lord Jesus Christ and they point out to him that his disciples didn't wash their hands when they ate. Jesus pointed out to them that it's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you, it's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. But he also says this, he calls them hypocrites and says that they make void the law. By their traditions, they don't even honor their mothers and fathers. By their traditions. And look at what the apostles say to the Jesus. His disciples say unto him, then came his disciples and said unto them, him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? After that, they heard this saying. They were impressed. They were impressed with the Pharisees, and they pointed out to Jesus, "Don't you know you offended them? Don't you know you offended them?" Well, of course, Jesus knows exactly the outcome of every word that he speaks. So here we have these men. They look absolutely the part. They say, "You know what? If you would have just preached better, if you'd have just told us plainly, we'd know that you're the Messiah." Jesus said to them, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am." Out in the outskirts of the city of Nain, there was a funeral procession, and there was a young man laying in a bier. He was the only son of a widowed mother. Jesus stopped that funeral procession, and he said, "Young man, arise." You know what? That young man arose. He got out of that. He had life now. He had life. Jairus, he was a ruler of the synagogue in Capernaum, and his daughter was really sick, and he went to Jesus, and oh, there was a delay, and there was a delay, and they said, "Well, you just didn't make it in time. My daughter's dead." And Jesus said, "She's sleeping. She's sleeping." And they laughed him to scorn. That's what the scriptures say. And you know what? He went in there in that room. He said, "Talitha kumai." It means "made arise." You know what? She got up. She got up. He healed the sick. He healed lepers. In the ninth chapter of the book of John, he healed a man that was born blind. Now, he healed a man who was born blind. All of these works, they just ignored. They just ignored. They said, "Boy, if you'd have just told us plainly, if you'd have just told us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you." Now, you go to any farmer, and if he's got any livestock at all, and there happens to be sheep there, you ask him, how does a sheep come about? How does a sheep come about? He'll tell you, "Well, they're born sheep." That's how sheep come about. They're born sheep. And Jesus has said, "You're not of my sheep, as I said unto you." He'd already told them the beginning of this chapter, they weren't his. They weren't his. And then he says this. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." Now, isn't the word of God, isn't it wonderful in how precise it is? Absolutely precise. He didn't say, "You didn't hear my word." He said, "You didn't hear my voice. You didn't hear my voice now." He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." He doesn't say, "They know me." He said, "I know them, and they follow me." Jesus told that rich young ruler, he said, "Come and follow me." He said, "Take all of your possessions and sell it and give it to the poor and come follow me." The man wouldn't do it. He would not do it. He had many possessions. that Jesus had talked about before, the strait is the gate. No, it's, you got to leave your burdens behind. You got to leave all those that would hinder the sweet worship unto him. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me." And that's the reason we're going to go to the sixth chapter of the book of, well, fifth chapter, go to the fifth chapter of the book of John. But let me read. He says, "And I give unto them eternal life." Sometimes you hear people, they talk about eternal life, and they talk, say, well, eternal is talking about the quality of life. And brother, I want to agree with that. I want to agree with that. When you hear it, when you see eternal life, there's a part of that. That could be talking about the quality of life, that the quality of that life. But I give unto them eternal life. He's talking about a life that doesn't end. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Many years ago, before I had a computer, I was wandering around in a used bookstore, and I found it's an Oxford Universal Dictionary. And boy, I picked her up. I got it. Nowadays, if I come to a word I don't know, I'll Google it. And you can get the Oxford Universal Dictionary right on your computer. But I've never looked up the word never. I know exactly what it means. You know exactly what it means. It means no, never, ever. It means endless without end. He says, "I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And then he says this. He says, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." You see, no man plucks them out of Jesus' hand. And no man is able to pluck them out of God the Father's hand. They have the same power. They have the same purpose. They have the same will. He says, "I and my Father are one." Go in the back of your Bible to 1 John 5:7. It says, "For there be three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." If you don't have that verse in your Bible, then there's something wrong with your Bible. You need to get another one. The King James has put that in there. Now, this is probably the most contested, the most Satan attacks scripture in the Bible. But brethren, we understand, I happen to have the Articles of Faith of the Santa Paula Church right here. It says, "We believe that the only true and living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." That's the first article of faith of the Church of Santa Paula. We believe in the, what let me say, the Trinity. But believe in the persons of the Trinity. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I came to this 10th chapter over what I heard last Wednesday night. He says, "All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." And one there, what a wonderful scripture! What a wonderful scripture! We heard it. I'm not going to speak on that. We heard that last Wednesday, and it was precious, absolutely precious. But I want to go to the fifth chapter of the book of John. And look at two verses. The 24th. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You know what? You know, the Apostle Paul, in speaking to the church at Rome, said, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? God forbid. God forbid. You know, I've said that God and the Father are one in power, one in purpose, one in will. And brethren, I want you to understand that there is a faith in the Godhead. And God the Father has faith in his Son, that he would bring salvation. Now the Apostle Paul is going to explain something about the 24th chapter, 24th verse in the 25th. You know, he said, verily, verily, the 24th says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and not voice, he's talking about heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You know, he's talking about an attribute that God's children can have now. When God's children hear the word of God, and it results in belief, it's because they are a born-again child of God. And it's happened sometime in the past. It's happened sometime in the past. You know, because this is past, these verbs are past tense. That when a God, when one of God's children believes the word of God, when he hears the word, it's because, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So we understand this, that when we come into a knowledge, when we come into an understanding, when we move into belief, it's because we are born of faith. And because we take that word that, and by the Spirit, examine it by the fruit of the Spirit, faith, and forgetting Adam, believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he's not leaving that for someone else. The Spirit pronounces life unto us by the word of the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that voice isn't finished. That 20, what is it? Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. With the voice of an archangel, the trump of God, the Lord Jesus Christ shall descend, and with his voice, proclaim that it's over, that all of God's children are called up to meet him in the air. It's over. You know, what we await is the last work of that Spirit, when that last child of God hears that voice of the Son. And then sometime after that, it's all over, and we'll forever be with the Lord. You know, I said eternal life is not only just an endless life, and it is without end, but it's a perfect, a quality of life that only our hearts can dream of through the Word and through the Spirit, to understand that we'll not be fettered by sin and by this Adam that's about us, but she'll be wrapped in that perfect love of our Savior, knowing each other as we're known by him. You know, isn't that wonderful? The sweet assurance that we have. You know, I said that God doesn't have any need of us to accomplish his purpose. And, I'm not a do-nothing Baptist. Just that what I am is I'm trying to study as a workman. I'm trying to make my calling and election sure. I'm trying to meet in perfect harmony of the Spirit, and worship God in spirit and in truth. That's the intent of my heart, led of the Spirit. And I know that's with yours. You wouldn't be here Wednesday night unless it was also. Isn't it wonderful that we have this sweet medium that we can come together and share with one another the hope that we have in Christ, where we've been begotten again onto a lively hope by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. That's eternal salvation. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Brother, that's the sweet, sweet. We can work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We can follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We can draw nigh unto him. The scripture says if we draw nigh unto him, he'll draw nigh unto us. And I know where he is. All we have to do is take a step away from the world. I hope you'll consider that this evening.